Let's pray together before we enter into our time of worship. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are love. We pray that we would emulate that to those around us, that people would see us and they would only see you, that we would be light and salt to the world today and in our community where we're going. We pray that we would always be amazed at who you are and what you've done for us and how you love us. Amen. Let's worship the Father this morning.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. And my sorrows, and made them his very own. He bore my burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone.
Sing it out.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how
David in the Psalms says that the Lord loves and has compassion like a father has compassion on his children, Psalm 103. And he does today, and I pray that we would all see him as a good, good father.
Oh, and I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know that we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Sing that again.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplained.
I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my soul.
Worship together, the greatest act of love that the Father showed to us was sending His Son to die, to be raised again, and to take our sin. Amen.
I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit
I'm forgiven
because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. give my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
You can be seated as we sing this next part. Just sing it in your heart as a prayer to the Father today. That he is our King, that he rules our lives, that he saved us, forgave us, and then our lives are different because of it. Amen?
You are my King. You are my King.
Sing it out.
And you are my King.
Last one.
Jesus, you.
Father, we pray that everything that we do is a reflection of what you have done for us. We pray that we would show the love of Christ wherever we go. You've loved us well. You've given us mercies that are new every morning. We thank you so much that you are working in our lives. Even when we don't see you, we know that you're there working good for us that love you. In Jesus' name.
I worship you. you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it,
even when I don't see it, you're working.
Because of all that's taken place with COVID-19, our choir is not in the loft, but you are all the choir. Praise God for being here today and singing with us. You know, we've been talking about that this is our 28 days of prayer and fasting, that we're seeking the Lord. We're halfway through that. And one of the things that we're doing is dwelling on who God is. So last week we were dwelling on His grace. We were dwelling on His faithfulness. The week before that, we were thinking on God's love. And so as we continue forward, we just sing a song that said, He's way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's the light in the darkness. We're dwelling on who our Father is. And then this week, we're going to be dwelling on the fact that God is just and that He's merciful. You know, I wanted to dwell on both of those on the same week because, you know, oftentimes when we think of God being just, people always think of that God justly sends people to hell. But I want you to recognize that God is just, and when He says, come in my good and faithful servant, it's because He is a just God, and He looks upon believers and sees the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ. And the reason that we're able to have that is because of God's great mercy. He didn't give us what we deserve, but instead He gave us His Son to die on the cross so that we may have life. Praise God. I am excited about what God has been doing. I got here a little bit late Friday for our prayer time, and when I pulled up, I thought we were having a time of worship because the parking lot was full at 12 o'clock. I tell you, it blessed my heart to pull in here and to see all the people here. And let me just tell you, we were having a time of worship because prayer is worship. Singing is worship. Worship is our life. We're worshiping right now as we begin this time. And let me just tell you, what I am called to do today, I can't do.
But God will, and God can. I am desperately dependent on God in all areas, especially whenever I stand up here to proclaim the words that he has written. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's cry out to God this morning as we begin. Father, we praise your holy name. I thank you for those that are here in the room with us and those on live stream that we are worshiping in spirit and in truth today together as the body of Christ. Father, we recognize that even the breath in our lungs today is by your grace and by your mercy. Father, I recognize that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, must move in this place for our hearts to hear your word. So, Father, remove me out of the way. And may it be your words that go forth, because the scripture says that the word of God will not return void. Father, we thank you that you are always moving. And so, Father, we pray today that we would humble ourselves before you. Father, that we would see you for who you are. We pray that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened and opened, that we may recognize and understand your unconditional agape love. For it's in your precious and holy name. Amen. As we begin today, we're talking, as we sang, all about love, and it's not Valentine's Day. We are going to talk about love as the scripture speaks of Paul's prayer here. We'll be in Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. This is part 3 of a 4-part series of Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. So in 2 weeks we'll be in Ephesians 4. We'll have finally made it halfway through the letter. But it's not Valentine's Day, but I want to ask, when somebody tells you that they love you, how does that make you feel? Do you recognize just from the words that somebody truly loves you? Or does it require something else other than just words being spoken? If somebody told you over and over that they loved you, but there was no action behind that, would you truly feel loved? Would you truly recognize that they love you? One of my favorite sayings is, say what you mean and mean what you say. Say what you mean and mean what you say. The way that you mean what you say is when you have action behind what's been spoken. If you say you're going to do something, but there's no action to do that, then did you really mean what you said? If you tell somebody that you love them, but that's all you ever do is just speak that, do you really love them? See, true love will bring about action in our lives. I was thinking about, and y'all are going to laugh when I tell you this, but I was thinking about my 6-pound little dog at home. And my dog loves to come, whenever I get home, that dog comes straight to me. But you know, that dog can't understand words out of my mouth. Maybe tones of voices, possibly. But that little 6-pound dog can recognize the action of her provider, the one who's taking care of her when my 6-year-old son wants to be way too rough, the one who this little dog just wants to come and just be in my lap and feel safe and secure. Why? Because she's seen that action over and over. Today in Paul's prayer, Paul is given a specific prayer that we would recognize, that we would understand the love of the Father. Let's look in chapter 3, starting in verse 14. We'll read to the end because I want you to hear the whole prayer. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What a powerful prayer. You know, I have been, and I told y'all 2 weeks ago that I walk and pray a lot, mainly so I can stay awake. And as I've been walking and praying, I have been praying this prayer over each of you and myself, that God would open our eyes to see and comprehend the love of God that surpasses human knowledge. Paul has a specific prayer. Now, last week we talked about the specific prayer that you would be strengthened in the inner man. How are you strengthened in the inner man? Through the Holy Spirit. What's the source? The riches of his glory, right? You can go back and get the CD. This week we see the specific prayer in the end of verse 17, 18, and 19. This specific prayer is that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that you would comprehend God's love, and that you would be filled to the fullness of God's love. Let me say that again. The specific prayer is that you would be rooted and grounded in God's love, that you would comprehend God's love, and that you would be filled to the fullness of God, to the fullness of Christ. Now, if you have the Bible app there, you have my scriptural notes there in the Bible app. If you don't, you can go to the events and type in Luke 4:18, and you'll see the notes for today. And you'll recognize that the first point is a specific prayer. The second one talks about that we are secure in love. Now, I'm going to actually do number two, three. So just know on the notes that they're a little bit backwards. We're going to start by recognizing and understanding the surpassing knowledge of God's love. So look in verse 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God which surpasses knowledge. Paul's prayer here to the Ephesian saints is praying that you would be able to comprehend something that humanly you can't comprehend. He speaks here of the size of God's love. He says that it surpasses human understanding and human knowledge. In this passage, he says that God's love is, he says that you would know the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. See, we live in a world that's measured by distance and time. And the problem here is that God's love is not measured in distance and time. Because there is no distance and time that can put God in that box. And this is foreign for our understanding. The idea of limitless is foreign. The idea of eternal is hard for us to comprehend. When you begin to think that God has always been, he was never created, and he will always be, your head will start spinning. It's kind of like when you were in calculus class back in the day, right? And you were trying to figure out how all this works together, and your head began to hurt. For some of us today, when we start to think about the height, the length, the depth, the breadth of God's love, our head will start to hurt if we do that in our own attempt of our own knowledge and our own ability. Which is why Paul is praying here that we would have that understanding. And he's already shared with us in chapter 2 and in chapter 3 that God is the revealer of mysteries. He's the one who opens our eyes to see. So let me ask today, how often do we try to understand God's love and understand God's word without seeking the Holy Spirit of promise to teach us and to show us? How often do we come to God's Word with our previous understanding and just read based on our previous understanding versus coming to God's Word and saying, Father, without the help of the Holy Spirit, without you guiding and directing my heart, I cannot understand these words. Father, I pray that you would enlighten my heart today. I am dependent completely on you to open my eyes today. When Paul says that we would know what is the height, the breadth, the depth, the length. You know, I looked at many commentaries over that, and people would try to say, well, the breadth of his love, the length is this, it's eternal, the height is as high as the heavens, the depths is as low as the lowest valley, and all those are great. But ultimately, what Paul is saying is that God's love is limitless. It's limitless. It's greater than we could ever fathom because there is no end to his love. God's love reaches to the highest mountaintop and it reaches to the lowest valley. You may have spoken these words out of your mouth before. You may have said, David, Brother David, or whoever you're speaking to, I'm just unlovable. I can't be loved. There's too much in my life that I have done wrong. Nobody will ever love me. And God's saying, my love reaches to the lowest valley. I love you. And his love for us is shown even in our most sinful state. See, as I said at the beginning, that true love has action. For us to understand and to see God's agape, unconditional love, we look straight to the Word of God, where the Holy Spirit opens our eyes of our heart to recognize and see. And what does the Scripture tell us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8? It says that God demonstrated, he acted upon his love. God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You want to know how limitless God's love is, how great his love is, how amazing his love is that when you and I were dead without any hope, as he said in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, I love you. Brother Fred used to say all the time that it was on his worst of days that God looked down and said, I love you. I love you. See, our culture says that we have to clean ourselves up and then we'll be lovable. But God says, I love you just as you are. Because he recognizes and understands that when Christ comes into our life, he begins to transform our lives. We are God's creation, and he doesn't make junk. God doesn't. And he loves you. John 3:16, for God so what? That he gave. How do we see God's love? We see it in the action of the Father of giving his Son to die on the cross so that you and I may have life. We see God's love all throughout the Word of God. But the greatest moment of all is that he loved us so much that he sent his Son to die so that you and I may have eternal life with Christ. It says this in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Then it says in verse 10, it says, in this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you recognize, do you see? I pray right now that the Holy Spirit of promise would open your eyes to see how limitless, how great, how amazing the unconditional agape love of the Father is towards you. But you know, sometimes after we get saved, we become almost callous and we forget. We forget that it was God's amazing agape love. We celebrate it on Resurrection Sunday. But do we live every day in this incredible love of the Father? For some of us, we don't know God's love. And I pray today that you would recognize that God is drawing you to Himself, that He loves you, and that He sent His Son for the whole world, every one of us. You say, but Brother David, you don't recognize where I am. And I would simply say to you, all of us, before knowing Christ, were in the same place, dead in need of a Savior, every one of us. Yes, the world and the sins of this world and the pleasures of this world may have taken a larger toll on our lives, but all of us were dead, every one of us. At the foot of the cross, it's level. Look at what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. He said this, but God, being rich in mercy because of His what? Great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive with Christ. Because of what? His great love. I pray today that you would be overwhelmed by the love of the Father. I pray today that you would literally fall on your face in humble adoration of who God is because of His agape, unconditional love for you. We recognize that God is the one who reveals this. What I love in this passage here is that Paul said, in verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend. Or in verse 19, and to know. What Paul's saying is that it's not impossible for you to know. It's not impossible for you to comprehend. It is impossible in your own ability. It is impossible trying in your own thoughts and opinions and all those different things. But as we have seen, God is the one who will reveal that to us. You may say, David, so you're saying that I have to ask? Absolutely. And guess what He says? When you ask, you'll receive. When we seek His face, we'll find. When He knocks on the door and we open it, He'll come in and dine with us. God's not playing hide and go seek. He's not like, let's just see what David can do. Let's keep hiding. No, it was humanity that hid from God, and God came to where they were. Brothers and sisters, would we fall on our face and recognize our dependency upon God for our hearts to be overwhelmed by His incredible agape, unconditional love? He continues on at the beginning of this prayer. He says, and verse 17, and that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Now, the reason I went backwards there is because I wanted you to just hear about God's love for a little bit. I just wanted that just to wash over your hearts, your minds, and then go to this portion where it says that we would be rooted and grounded. That word rooted means to be firmly established. The word grounded means a foundation. When you're building a house, why is it so important to have a good foundation? Can you imagine building a house with no foundation? I would not want to live there. And neither would any of you. Because the foundation is what holds up the house. Paul is praying that we would recognize that we are secure in God's love. We're secure. That we, when we get overwhelmed by His love, when we see His love and we recognize how much He loves us, we recognize that we're secure in the Father's arms. But we must ground ourselves, discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness, ground ourselves in God's love, be firmly established. It can't just be a Sunday morning when Brother David preaches on God's love. It has to be every day that you're in God's Word. The Holy Spirit is washing over you, and you are hearing and seeing God's love for you. I was reminded of how when a young kid has a rough day at school, or they get hurt. And then they see their mom or their dad. What do? Oftentimes they'll run up to them and they'll just get in their lap. Why? Because they feel secure. Because they feel that that love is going to protect them. You may have seen that in your own life, and you may have done that in your own life. And it may not have even been a parent. It may have just been somebody who you began to see through their actions that they loved and cared for you, that you would go to in times of pain and a hurt. Why? Because you sense security in that love. But can I tell you, it's not just in bad times. How many of y'all remember when I preached on the Shema, listen and obey? Few people, awesome. And I had Emmy Grace, my now 8-year-old daughter, come up here. And I spoke to her and I said, now Emmy, I want you to trust your dad. I want you to listen and obey. And Emmy fell back and I did a trust fall with her. But then I turned her around and I said, trust me. And I said, I want you to fall back. Now I'm standing in front of her looking at her. But what she did not know is that I had had Brother Randy come behind her to get ready to catch her. And in that moment, my daughter, at that point she was six years old, she trusted my voice and she fell back not knowing that somebody was behind her. Now she was caught by Brother Randy. My heart exploded in that moment. I did not expect her to fall back. And I lifted, I don't know if y'all remember this, I hoisted her up on my shoulders and I'm like in tears. And I'm just like, I can't believe my daughter had done this, because I was actually prepared to tell you that we're just like this. We turn around and look to see the safety net, right? And I was overwhelmed. And guess what? My daughter began to see that love in her father. That when we got home that day, she said, Daddy, can I sit with you? I was like, absolutely. After about an hour, she was like, Dad, can we go play together, you and I? Sure. Next thing I knew, it was time for bed. She said, Dad, will you come put me to bed? Will you come pray with me, Dad? Will you? And she would not leave my side. And I was like, Lord, what has happened? Father, what's going on? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, your daughter, you spoke to your daughter's heart today when you lifted her and let her know how much you love her and that she feels secure in your arms. Now, there's many days that I say, Father, I want that again. Please. I mean, she's 8 now and she's so independent. Father, I long for that. And what happened in that moment is it's not just in bad times, but it's also in good times that we feel secure in the arms of those who love us. And Paul is saying to them, I pray that you would be grounded in the love of the Father, that you would be rooted in the love of the Father, that you would feel secure in His love. Listen, if God loved you enough to send His Son to die for you on the cross so that you may be made alive in Him, we can trust Him with every aspect of our life. Every aspect. See, when Jesus comes into our life, we are to give our whole life to God. Every bit. He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. We can't play games with God. But so often we try in our own ability to keep back the portions that we don't trust God to have. But do we realize what we're doing? We say that God loves us enough to send His Son to die for us on the cross. But we're saying over here, He doesn't love us enough for this little part of my life or this part of my life. If we can trust God with salvation, we can trust Him with our lives. He has a perfect plan for you, and He loves you. He cares for you. He's given you an incredible work to do, and that's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around you. And He loves you, and He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. We're secure in the love of the Father when we recognize who He is. That's the reason why we've started this whole time of prayer by dwelling on who our Father is. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. I love, many of y'all probably have this memorize. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Why are we fearful about giving God every aspect of our life? He loves us. He loves you. He cares for you. The reason we're fearful is because of our own desires, our own selfishness, that we think that we know best. We'll take salvation, God, but we know what's best in our life. And God's saying, no, no, no. I know what's best in every aspect of your life. Trust me with it all. Trust me with every bit of it. Truly abide in me. Paul continues on. He says in verse 18, let me go to verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Wow. That you would be overwhelmed by God's love. That you would be secure in God's love. So that you would be full in Christ. Look at what it says down in chapter 4, verse 13. It says, let me go back to verse 12. We read this last week. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the what? Fullness of Christ. When Paul's saying here that you would be full in Christ, that you'd be filled up, he's saying that you would grow in Christ. And even further than just growing, that you would look like Christ, that you would be showing Christ. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined, and here it is, to become, and this says, predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. You and I, as believers in Christ, are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. How does this take place? It takes place when we're strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit of promise, so that Christ has its rightful place in our heart. We are being conformed in the image of God when we are overwhelmed by God's agape, unconditional love. We're secure in his love, which means that we say, Father, my life is yours. And the Holy Spirit begins to do the work in our life. He begins to make those changes. See, what happens is we say, I want to look more like Christ. We'll read Romans 8, 29. We'll say, okay, I'm supposed to be conformed to the image. So let's go conform myself to the image of God. And you and I can't do it. We have tried so hard. It's called legalism. That's the reason why I've been sharing over and over. We took so much time on Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. Because it's all about your identity of who you are in Christ. And until you're in Christ, you can never do for Christ. Until you recognize that it's the power of God and completely dependent upon God for the transformation in our life, you're going to be doing in your own power and you're going to get really frustrated. We have to begin to get overwhelmed and let God wash our hearts and our minds to show us who we are in Christ. And we'll begin to be conformed to the image of Christ, not out of your power and your strength to do it, but out of the Holy Spirit of promise working in our lives. When we were in Israel, we go to an olive wood cutting place where they carve out the olive wood, and it's a store. And down at the bottom of the store, they'll take you in there and they'll show you how they cut out all the wood. And they have this machine called the duplicator. I actually have a like 20-second video, I think, of it. I want you to show it. I'm going to talk while it's showing because there's no volume on it. But this is called a duplicator. Okay, hit pause right there so we can stop right there. Perfect. What the guy is holding in the middle, there's a mold that goes in right there. And all those pieces on the edge, there's four on both sides, so eight on both sides, they put pieces of olive wood, blocks of olive wood. And what he does in the middle is he takes that and he begins, as a skilled craftsman, he begins to work along the mold in the middle. And it does that to all eight of them. And they begin to look like that which is in the middle. Brothers and sisters, that is exactly what's happening in our life. Jesus Christ is the image that we're called to reflect. But here's what happens. You and I try to be this man right here who's holding that and moving that along. But what God has said is that it's not us who moves that along. It's the Holy Spirit of promise who does that. I even, as I was praying and thinking over this illustration, I even see that duplicator as the Word of God. That the Holy Spirit moves the Word of God over our life, and we stop looking so much like ourselves, and we start looking more and more like Christ. And here's the thing. When you remove those eight pieces of wood, you can take the video down, but when you remove those eight pieces of wood, yeah, they all look like the image, but all those pieces of wood are different. They all have, some of them have deeper tones in them. Some may have a few cracks here or there in them. It's just like us, the body of Christ. We all have different personalities and gifts. And God has put us together for the growth of the body. Look at what he said. This is so powerful. So often we read over this when you're reading through Ephesians 3 so fast. Look at what it says in verse 17. And 18, it says, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, and here it is, with all the saints. With all the saints. Now, when we read that quickly, we may just say that all the saints need to be recognize God's love. And I agree with that. I pray that all the saints will recognize God's love. But here's the thing. When we are being overwhelmed by God's love, and secure in his love, guess what happens with the saints? We're reflecting the image and character of God, and we love one another. So when it says that you would comprehend with all the saints, I believe that God is saying not only will you individually comprehend God's love, but that you will experience it corporately. The love that we have for one another can't be love that we create in our own ability. No, it's the love of God that is now in and through us. And how do we love brothers and sisters in Christ? But we love them the way that God loved us. Look at what Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 26. Jesus prayed in this high priest prayer, or what I call Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And he says, oh, righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I made your name known to them, and will make it known so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Brothers and sisters, when we're securing God's love, and we're being transformed by God's love, let me tell you what begins to happen. God's love begins to come forth from our life. People start to see that we're showing Christ. We're growing in the fullness of who God is. And that love begins to come forth from our life. Jesus prayed that his love, that it would be in us. The way the Father loved Jesus, that we would recognize that and love one another. Look at John chapter 15, 9 through 13. Right after he says, abide in me. He says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. And then here it is. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friend. Brothers and sisters, we can't love one another unless we're secure in God's love. We can't love one another unless we are overwhelmed by God's agape, unconditional love for us. And the scripture says that God places his love in us. Oh, and then one of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It says this. It says that God's love controls us. It controls us. It says, for the love of God, for the love of Christ controls us. Have you relinquished your life to the Father completely because you're secure in his love? Because when you do, God's love controls. It compels you. It moves you to action. As I shared at the very beginning, love without action, is it really love? If I told you all day long that I loved you but never demonstrated or showed that to you, would you really believe me? No. But when we are secure in God's love and overwhelmed by his unconditional agape love, his love controls us and moves us to action. Paul speaks about this in chapters 4, 5, and 6. I'll close by showing you briefly because we'll be teaching through it. But look at Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another. Here it is, in love. In love. We are called to walk in a manner worthy. Ephesians 5. Chapter verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators. Reflect the image, the character of God as beloved children, and walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. How do we do that? We get overwhelmed by God's love. We seek the Holy Spirit to show us and reveal to us the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of God's love. That we say, Father, only you can reveal that to us. We get lost in that love, as in secure in his love. And then we become imitators of God. Look at chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, you can't love your wife unless you're secure in God's love. Unless you are overwhelmed by God's love. Listen, the world can say all day long that love is this and love is that. But let me tell you something. We can't love until we've been made alive in Christ. And then we must be secure and overwhelmed and let the Holy Spirit, we must dwell in his love and let the Holy Spirit of promise transform our life so that we can love others. If you don't believe me in that, go back and just see in one verse above, in verse 21 of chapter 5, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. If we're not subject first to the Lord, how can we love? See, I told you the other day, everybody wants how-tos. How do I fix my marriage? How do I witness better at work? How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I do this? And the answer to all of those questions is to dwell on who our Father is. Let him wash over us and let the Holy Spirit begin to do a transformational work in our lives. Because when we do, we become imitators of Christ. We're conformed to his image. And every aspect of our life begins to reflect the image and character of God. It's not just in relationships. It's in how we do things of our life. Every aspect, every single aspect. The reason we give is because God gave. The reason we love is because God loved. The reason we have show grace and mercy is because God is grace and mercy, and He showed that upon us. Every aspect of our life begins to be changed. But it's all because of who God is. It's all because of what He's done. It's all because of His agape, unconditional love. Brothers and sisters, what actions do we take? We can say all day that we love one another. We can say all day we love God. But will we take the action to seek the Lord, to open our eyes and our heart that we may be overwhelmed by His love? You may be standing here today or sitting here today, and you may be saying, David, I don't even know Christ. Would you run to the Father? He's drawing you in today, and His love reaches to the lowest valley. You know how I know? It's because I was there, and God's love reached down and pulled me out of that valley and made me alive in Christ. Brothers and sisters, may we just get overwhelmed by God's love today. And may we be secure and let Him have every bit of our life.